Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hello, love.
Hello, Governor.
We're in London. I almost said we're from London. That's not true.
No, certainly not.
I'm going to do something that people love on podcasts, which is to show people.
Oh, be careful. Oh, yeah, riveting.
Absolutely gorgeous, babes.
Well, we're here. Here I am in London for the fucking 12th time this year.
Oh no! Did I detect an ungrateful tone in that voice, Miss Lady?
I'm grateful. Listen, I'm happy to be here. It's just, you know what though? For the air conditioning's sake, I'm happy I'm here in the winter. Because you can't count on the UK to provide you with the aircon, babes.
Certainly not. However, you can also count on the UK to shut the doors tight and have the warmest kiki indoors when thousands of bodies get into some old rickety-ass old maiden type of building.
Thousands of bodies. Half of them have the blue haircuts.
And the other half have a suspicious odor emanating from every single motherfucking pore of their bodies. Wash yourself. Wash yourself.
And maybe a front tooth that looks like it holds the future.
The teeth is the least of my problems. I love character teeth are fabulous. They're like character shoes. But like they don't smell bad. Oh, actually they do smell bad.
Kicker. Yeah. So can you tell me about Labadoo?
Okay. So I was able to achieve, something that I never thought that I was able to achieve. I go on Instagram a while ago for my favorite, Ukrainian singer, Svetlana Labada. So her name is Loboda. That's how you say it. L-O-B-O-D-A, but you say it Labada. And it's just so weird.
Svetlana Labada.
She's Ukrainian. She sings in Russian. I've been listening to her for the past, I don't know, 5 years or something.
This was a big moment for you.
Huge moment. But here's the kicker. She announced an American tour. Miami, New York, L.A., San Francisco. Where do you think we are when she's in L.A.? Poland.
Ironically much closer to where she's from.
I know. I couldn't go to any of the other dates because we're on tour. This was the only date Miami that I could go to. So when we were in DC, I got a VIP table. And then I was like, I'm not going to go alone. I would have gone alone, but since it was so close to the tour, I was like, okay, Eden and I will go. And then we needed four people for the VIP table.
Well, can I ask, do you know a single person besides you who likes this person? Like, did you have anybody where like, oh, here's my friend who likes this artist?
No. However, Andrew and Eden are both ruthlessly and mercilessly subjected to hearing her music in the studio every day. So they actually were singing along, but they were like,
they're learning.
Like Andrew knew the words, just not
Ukrainian
what they,
people speak Russian.
So she sings most of her songs in Russian.
Okay.
She has a few, recently she has a few Ukrainian hits. She was actually the Ukrainian entry for Eurovision in 2008, I think, in her English language song, which was, you know.
I think we're doing, Our venue in Warsaw, by the way, you can come see us in Poland.
Yeah.
Our venue in Warsaw, I believe we switched venues because it's
currently
being
used. Because the Ukrainian refugees.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, we got the tickets. It was for in a casino in Hollandale Beach, Florida. Just
where the fuck is that?
North of Miami, Miami Beach. So it was like 30 minutes from South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And ooh, girl, it was. I mean, first of all, we went to the beach. It was me, Ethan, Andrew, and Eden. So
I saw that salt water douching right up your pussy.
Mama, sand in the dick hole, honey. Like, I forgot going to the beach. When you really get all good and juicy down on the beach like that, it gets everywhere.
It gets everywhere. The salt in the eyes,
salt
in the face, in the mouth.
Snow on the beach, salt in the dick hole. Exfoliating your what's gone sour. It was so intense, but it was so fun. Warm water.
Well, can we be honest? Like when the whole world shit talks Florida,
no, Miami
is the nicer part.
It's got culture.
Right?
It's got architecture. It's got Cubans. It's got people. Huge Russian diaspora, apparently.
Great outdoor mall.
Lovely. Well, so the Sport of Kings Theater at the Gulfstream Casino was lit. They had one of those Christmas trees that lit up all different colors and synchronized mm-hmm. music. I almost cried. And,
it was what's so the gay fierce. Bar there? Is it Score?
Twist. Oh, no, that's in South Beach. Twist was fierce.
I worked at Score once, and that's where I met Rubber and Lisa.
Now, where's that?
Lisa Limbaugh Rubber. I think it was in Miami, probably.
Miami, okay. Yeah, so there's Fort Lauderdale. Lovely, gay. That's where my uncle's former boyfriend tried to show me his penis. Thank you very much. I probably shouldn't have said that.
I went to Fort Lauderdale because I won a trip on Drag Race.
Oh, yeah.
And I went there once for 3 days.
How did you love it?
Yeah, I mean.
Did you go to the nudie resort?
I just would never choose to go to Florida. Like, not for vacation, not for anything. Because it's just, it's LA, but humid. Like, we already have good weather. I don't need to go there for the good weather.
82 at night and 90% humidity.
It's
Eden
crazy.
Was like, with her hair, she was like, I'm in hell.
I don't know how the drag queens. Well, you know, Florida, I feel like I think of a lot of the naked girls. It's not fashion.
Necessity.
It's survival.
Yeah, it's survival. It's by necessity.
Even the girls without perhaps the most stunning bodies. The girls who don't quite serve the body are like, yeah. Well, gal, I'm going to put on the necklace.
Yeah.
I'm going to whip my cock out. Yeah. I'm going to take my shoes off.
And get my $40.
Florida is where I have seen drag queens with no clothes or no shoes on. Naked.
Well, it's a different set of policies down there.
Brandon and I were at a certain bar once where the bartender leaned over and gave us money to go give the girl because she was completely naked with no shoes on and there was no tipping going on. And
Are you sure she was in the lineup? Or
this feels
like an unhoused.
Trafficking. Like,
yeah.
We could intervene and it was a show.
Yeah.
And well, you know, during a drag show, you do want the audience to feel secure that it's a show.
And not sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Not a farm to table sex trafficking, you know, scheme. But we went down to South Beach the night we got there, went to Twist. Twist was fierce. Twist, the gay bar.
Uh-huh.
No
I've
cover.
Never been.
No cover. Tuesday night, we went in there.
Did you dance?
We danced. And then-
Do you like to dance?
I do in the certain set of circumstances. If like it's, you know, well, if it's like music I like, which is never played at any bar.
The older I get, the more now when I'm at a gay bar, I'm actually like, why are we dancing? Let's go dance.
Yeah.
In my 20s, I never felt that
loose.
Way. And now post-COVID, I'm like, well, I'm already uncomfortable. I may as well go enjoy myself.
You might
as well
look uncomfortable too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they had all these different rooms and most importantly, smoking areas all throughout.
Oh, because it's like half indoor, half out.
Yes, like 4 different rooms.
I'll say this about Florida. Because it's hot and putrid,
the
air conditioning is fierce, Diva.
They don't play around because
it's like Texas.
Yes, because it is like, it's like, if the desert has water pumped in.
Mm-hmm.
Because they need water to survive.
Yeah.
It's that vibe.
Uh-huh.
It's not like these fucking, these variable climates where it's like, oh, you know, No. When a heat wave comes, they know what time it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they know
I mean, Dallas, shit like that. You walk in and they have long, thin air con things above the door. So when you open the door, you're blasted with freezer air and you're like, I'm never going home.
Also, a lot of the restaurants and malls, strip malls have those cold misties.
Devils and PS.
I almost have to like stop from jerking off because it's so fierce.
Yeah.
Devils and what?
They have those in Palm Springs.
Yes. Yeah.
In Absolutely the motel, we lovely. Have central air in addition to in-room units. so you will never be left hot at the Trixie Motel. By the way, teasing ahead, we have a At the Motel episode we're going to do.
Oh, yes, we do.
There's going to be guests there while we're there.
That's fine.
And we're going to be probably by the poolside, like, can you guys quiet down?
Yeah, shut up. Well, they'll be like, you should charge extra that day.
Maybe. I think we should. Charge,
yeah.
We could ask while they're there.
Yeah. Do you have $5?
Panhandle. Yeah. Now, I have more questions about Labadab.
Okay, wait. So wait, before that. So we went to Twist, and then this gorgeous drag queen walks by, tall, black, braids
was
down to
town?
Her ankles.
Oh.
Braids down her ankles, and I was like, huh. I was like, that looks like Ebony XL that I know from Boston circa 2010. And sure enough, it was. She was doing a show there at 1 o'clock. I went over and introduced myself. And I had known her from way before Drag Race.
Ebony XL.
Ebony XL.
Great name.
Yeah. Super talented, crazy dancer. She looks like Grace Jones's daughter. Super glamorous. It hasn't aged in 20 years. I don't know how, but she didn't recognize me at first, but then she's like, oh my God, Katya. And then she goes to the bartender. This is Katya from Drag Race. The bartender was like,
who cares?
Literally. He was like Elaine from 30 Rock. Who cares? And it was so great.
You know who's the ultimate culprit of not knowing who we are, which is totally fine? Security at gay bars.
But
security is the number one employee who's like, who? I don't believe you.
Julia Roberts or George Clooney. They're the only two people I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, so Labada. We go to the Sport of Kings Casino.
How many seats is it?
Well, it was like a nightclub. It was kind of like Royale in Boston. It's a little bit smaller.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But tons of tables, tons of VIP tables.
Okay.
Racket. A small kind of pit area. And mama, the real show was going on off stage. Well, first of all, we were early at peaked
in. Who was in the audience for that besides you?
Well, me, my party of four were the only non-Russian speaking people. Absolutely. Oh, besides Jonathan Cheban, who's this food god. I've never heard of him, but do you know, I don't know him. But Andrew and Ethan and Eden seem to know who he was. Anyways, go in there. Well, first of all, I see her rehearsing at 7 o'clock, show's at 8. So I see her rehearsing with canes, with dancers. I was like, oh my God, I was so excited.
You're like, this is going to be turnt.
I was like, because I was expecting the bottom of the barrel. You never know.
Yeah.
Bottom of the barrel. She could either give you like Cirque du Soleil or just like, you know, mud people.
Two-step.
Yeah. But so that was promising. We get in there. Show is 1 hour late. We have to buy a $200 bottle of champagne, which was the cheapest thing on the menu. How about a $800 bottle of Dom Perignon?
I mean, listen, I know from, there was a time where I was getting offered a certain DJ gig at a certain hotel in a certain Las Vegas. And the base pay for things in those environments is very low.
Yeah.
But if you're somebody who sells a lot of bottles and tables, the paycheck for the artist compounds like to the power of like,
okay,
10 tables is this much, 15 tables is this much, 20 tables is this
it's
much.
Like logarithmic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that.
Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
I mean, it was like people were just wandering in at their leisure.
But were they all like you where they were like, I can't believe I'm going to get to see her?
Absolutely not.
No.
No, they were, it was, everybody was surged. I mean, every single person had a nose job. Every single person had like, it was like the ratio of men to women, the women to men was at least 12 to 1.
Russian people?
All Russian speaking people. Various, you know, Ukrainian, whatever, as former Soviet republics. It was
it's probably like immigration or first, like.
Yeah, they're all living, the huge population in Miami, huge population everywhere, really. Okay. New York, LA, you know, Santa Monica and Fairfax is like little Russia in LA.
Now, I don't want to generalize, but was it giving like a lot of makeup, designer label clothing?
Honey, you can generalize.
Yeah.
Because it was like. Because
the Russian gals who used to shop at the makeup counters, they would come in
sweetie,
done.
Sweetie, you know I wish mean? I could show you this woman. This in various levels of like, of sophistication to just like, hi, yeah, yeah, yeah. This one girl had, I mean, she looked like me if I had to get ready, like if I had 3 hours to get ready just to do my eyes.
Oh, so it's not always good.
No, no, no. This girl had. She gave Trisha Paytas as a drag makeover. She had crunchy, bleached blonde hair, a loaf, and then pin straight extensions that went down to the waist.
Alaska.
Yeah. Yes. It was, I was like, because I was just finished telling the my party, I was like, I should not, I'm so glad I didn't come in drag because I would have been ogled and ridiculed. But then I saw her and I was like, well, maybe not. Because she was giving very like third time in drag, but she was a woman. Anyways, so many tall girls, skin tea, ED boots, like eating disorder boots.
Oh, you erectile know, like, dysfunction. It's like girls with erectile
well,
dysfunction.
Well, the boys, the guys.
Was like, it old men and hot young bitches?
Yes.
Because I'm imagining that it's like bottle service girls.
Yes.
And like mafia people.
Well, they weren't dressed up. They were very, it was like mafia cats, like biz cash mafia guys. Just like. Oh, derpy, derpy.
Is it like the Russian hooker dresses in LA?
Yeah, I mean, one girl, this like, there was a lot of tall girls, a lot of tall girls like plucked from, you know, there was a, one girl was in a hot pink ostrich feather suit with pants, like ostrich feathers poking out. It looked disgusting.
but and, she probably thought it was rich.
Oh, she thought it was fierce. And then another girl was in like a head to toe Chanel, so gorgeous. Another girl was in this fucking.
So they're really giving colors and levels.
They're giving levels and gradients of all the fashion spectrum.
So some people actually looked good.
Oh, no, no. Some people looked spectacular. And then we get to the main event. Now, it was billed as a charity concert. If I understood every word she said, I mean, she basically read Moby Dick throughout the night. She said so much. There was so much patter between numbers.
Was it interesting to hear her talk? Was she funny?
Well, I could not understand about 80% of what she's saying because it was all in Russian.
Oh, wow.
The only thing she said that day was on her Instagram, "Hello, USA. I'm so excited to be here." That was it. Everything else was in Russian. But it was a lot of monologues about Ukraine, a lot of monologues about women, about certain things. Like, I could get pieces and pieces, but...
Was your table depending on you? And you're like, I learned my Russian from her songs.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Until she starts singing, I don't know what she's saying.
I mean, I was screaming all the lyrics and stuff. I sat down for one song because I didn't like it. But it was interesting. This fucking yellow suit, bitch. This yellow fucking suit. Now
you took footage. If you're watching the pod, we can show it on YouTube. Let's show it.
Yeah, we'll show it. Here, take a look. She wore this. So she has long blonde hair. She wore this wig. That I would wear.
It really looked like a wig.
It was a wig.
A
it
unit.
It was a center part, dark rooted, kind of like a wavy shoulder length, full haired wig. And I was like, Mary, what are you doing? It was just very biz cash.
Yeah.
It was. She's 40. She just turned 40. But like in her previous concerts and performances, she plays stadiums in some of these, you
really?
Know, Russian puppies.
She's really famous.
Well, she's got 7 million Instagram followers. She's got I don't know what her record sales are. I have no idea. But she's very famous, not with young folks, more with millennials and older generations. But
well, it's like Indian celebrities, for example. India is such a big country.
Yeah.
You can have so many followers
right.
and then be famous not a lot of other places.
But that's the truth about any other international act. And to break into the American or the English speaking markets is impossible. You know, but Russia, I mean, former Soviet, Russian speaking countries are many and numerous.
Including the Russians in America.
Including what?
Like Russian speakers in America. Yeah, like you said, they exist.
Tons of them. So much so that many artists can enjoy like a pretty extensive tour of the United States. I went to one in Boston, the most famous singer, packed the place we were at.
Most of the Russian people I've met are in the service industry. Like when I worked in P-Town, they would also be there in the summer doing a summer of like serving.
And there are like a lot of Bulgarians too. And like
Bulgarians. Yeah. And then, I mean, it's stereotypical, but drivers. Like you and I were in a car once and you were doing your Duolingo and that driver was helping you with your Russian.
I love a Russian driver. Yeah.
You were like, I forget what phrases you were saying. And he kept looking in the mirror at you. And then eventually he started correcting your pronunciation. He was like, why are you learning Russian? And you were just like, for fun.
Well, that's always the thing. It was like, as I'm learning Russian, they're like, why? It's either, they're like, either you have a girlfriend or you're going there. For work. Those are the only two reasons.
I watch a lot of those YouTube videos. This is so clickbaity, but I'm so susceptible to anything like this.
Okay.
Where it's like, white guy who speaks perfect Mandarin surprises the staff at a deli.
Uh-huh.
And he'll go in and he'll order in Mandarin and their face is always like,
yeah.
They're like, why do you know this? And he's like, oh, I learned it with my girlfriend. And they're like, oh my God. And they're always in the videos super appreciative.
Yeah.
They're like, thank you for learning this non-essential.
Well, that's funny because I did the same thing the other day. I went into it must have been the Kung Fu store, and I said, Hua Hui Shua Yi Dia Pu Tong Hua.
Did you really?
No, I'm not a Kung Fu store, but
what's a Kung Fu store?
I don't think there are any, but that's, I speak a little Mandarin.
That's great.
Hua Hui Shua Yi Dia Pu Tong Hua.
What does that mean?
I speak a little Mandarin.
Oh, yeah. But then, and then they go,
Xie Xie. No, I don't know. Not, I mean,
well, you know, I got the, you know, when I'm in Montreal, I try to get fierce and they go, oh, and like, nice French.
Nice French, honey.
Nice French.
Yeah, good
but
effort.
Now, what do you want? A baguette?
Yeah.
Babes?
Wait. It's okay, quick. So the 45 minutes of a fashion show and I'm falling asleep because it's like we were
but
at
no
the
fashion
beach all day.
The dancers changed?
The dancers changed. They were in their Work the World season one costumes 25 times. And actually during
was it like bodysuits and stuff?
Bodysuits, sheer coats that were removed, Gia Gunn ponytails of the yaki variety. And at one point during the end, there was a strap, the two straps on one of the dancers' costume broke, and we could see full nipples for 5 minutes.
Good for her though, you gotta keep going.
Oh, she was a pro. You could tell, I could sort of sense that she knew and she was a little uncomfortable. The choreo did not say that. She was fabulous. And funny enough, some of those dancers, there were four of them, were doing very different dances at certain points during the evening. It was not the most meticulously choreographed. She would have pages of notes. Yeah. But that fucking yellow suit, I understand the Ukrainian colors and her patriotism and her hometown was fucking destroyed. You know, like it's really tough for a Ukrainian artist who travels around Russia and has lived in Russia and she lives in Europe now, but to continue your career and she's very like involved.
And do pop and not be 18.
Right. And
that's hard for anyone.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. And she's like, but it was like Kylie Minogue. Imagine if fucking Australia was like under a siege or something from Britain. Mm-hmm. And Kylie Minogue can't just be like, you know, two hearts beating together. You know, you got to kind of like... You know,
I love Kylie Minogue.
I fucking do too.
It's just such a common conversation to have with Australian people when they're like, is Kylie big in America? And anybody with taste goes, not as big as she should be.
Yeah. No, and it's a fucking crime. Yeah.
Her songs are so timeless.
And she's so
I'm such
wonderful.
A faggot for her music.
I'm such that a faggot Aphrodite for concert, her. I cried.
Girl,
I
it's
cried.
Amazing.
All the lovers?
All
the
fountains?
Lovers.
Yes.
London, yes. I love you.
Can't get you out of my head.
I mean,
coming up on the plate, classic. The boilerplate.
Yeah.
I love that song. I'm the one.
Yeah.
Love me.
It's just so fierce, so fabulous. So wait. Anyways, hold on. I'm not done with my trauma about the yellow suit.
So PTSD, rage, and female trauma.
So the band comes out so excited, hour late, whatever, no opener. But they start
hour
playing.
Hour late? The show starts an hour late?
The show is at 8. The band comes out at 9. Mary, I've been there since 7. Clock is ticking. It's humid. And, you know.
You would have left for anyone else by then. By the way.
I should have known better. I don't go to enough concerts to know that time is the elusive. You know, the elusive chanteuse comes out on her own time. But it was 8 to 11. So I figured, okay, probably 9 to 11. Anyways, the band comes out. They start playing something. I'm like, this is a little more rock vibe. And I was like, if there's a fucking opener, because somebody was on a microphone, I was like, I am not going to sit through a vocal led opener for 20 minutes. So then she comes out and I'm like, what's that yellow suit?
What you got there, good?
What you got down there, lady? What's that suit all about? And it was a suit of a fit that, let's just say, begged to be revealed.
It
into
looked
some,
like she...
Zara?
Well,
Zara,
but she,
H&M.
She picked up a men's suit, a plus size men's suit, and then forego a fitting.
Yeah, she had a very form-fitting, what I'm assuming to be like a bodysuit, a blue bodysuit. Listen, yellow and blue, the Ukrainian colors. I get it. And I'm, but mama.
We're not talking about the colors.
No, I'm talking about the colors. Yellow's tough for a blonde. Yellow is tough for a blonde. I know.
I love yellow. It works for me.
You're different though, because you do yellow sequin paillettes with boas and shit. This was this was fucking The Mask. Jim Carrey in The Mask. It was Jim Curry in the mask. And there were times where she would do this thing, like take it off the shoulders, and we're like, okay, oh yeah.
And then she put it back on.
Oh, what? Mary Dugan. It was maddening. But I knew every song except one. The first one, I don't know, I don't like it, but it was the crowd. This fucking
were they singing?
No, they were like a nightclub. It was
they were
chaos.
Ignoring her?
Yes,
they were ignoring her.
Yes, there was one woman over on the VIP table who had a three-year-old child who was dancing. That was great. But everybody, all the guys, because it was like a 12-to-1 ratio, the guys that who were dragged there by their wives or girlfriends could not care less, and they were just on their phones screaming. Everybody's having family reunions, drinking alcohol, having appetizers, meats and stuff. It was chaos.
But you know what though? Don't you think casino gigs in general are just a little left of center as far as the typical experience?
Yes. But also, Marcella was telling me that foreign concerts are not like in America. They're wild.
Oh, maybe the culture is more like a get together.
It's a get together. And also, if you think about this, like it's a Russian community with outside of the country, expat, you know, like people haven't seen each other for a while. Maybe they're coming from other
places.
Maybe it's
like a drag show where it's like you can talk during it.
I don't know. Our drag shows are a little bit more.
That's not an invitation to talk during our shit.
No, it was chaos, and there was a bald guy right next to me, and I was trying to get my jush, but I had a great time. But it was she did one costume change, and it just left a little bit to be desired because it was another baggy fucking leather suit, and I was like, Mary, I've seen your other work, I've seen your concerts, and
wait, what did your table of non-Labada fans think of it?
Andrew lived. I think he cried at one point.
Really?
Yeah, because he was drunk, probably. And Eden and I were bonding
I've seen
over
him
like
cry.
Yeah, he cries with a drop of a hat. Yeah. Yeah, Ethan likes music and he likes Labada actually. So it was he's a music publicist. So it's
right.
And Eden was very into the fact that like the dancers were out of sync. When was she singing versus not singing? Where was the track? How much of a track? But she played the drums.
That's cool.
Fiercely too. With that, now that the suit made sense for that, it was like a Butch moment. She gets down, but damn that.
Does she have a big gay following?
I would imagine, yeah.
Gays and lesbians?
I would imagine. I mean, I really don't know actually. Not young folks, more
Did
millennials.
Clock any other gay guys there?
Three, maybe.
Really? Wow.
Maybe her stylist. There was her stylist, that food god guy, and maybe like four other ones, but they could have just been Euro trash. It's hard to say.
That's amazing.
Yeah. There was one guy who was so like this bodybuilder guy who walked like this. And that was fun.
Too bad it's a bummer. She could have come seen us. She could have come seen our show maybe. Do you think she knows who you are?
Well, she reposted me on her Instagram, but I think just because I have a blue check mark, you know, and she was reposted a lot of other people and she's done that in the past. But
wait, what do you think about the blue check mark going to be?
On Twitter?
For sale. It's going to be purchasable.
Floptina. We just got to get out of there.
I honestly don't want to sound whatever.
What? Whatever. It means something.
Well, I get afraid of expressing myself because I feel like I get raked through the coals and I'm always
for
scared.
What? Elon Musk is a fucking idiot.
But I mean, I just feel that if you have a blue check, it's because
you're a public figure.
You're a public figure or you have some sort of recognition because of your position of your career or
yes.
your artistic prowess or like whatever.
You're famous.
And
for
now
lack of a
we're
better
making,
word.
We're saying that money can make your voice seem more important. We're basically acknowledging that that's true. And it's the worst thing about America to begin with is that money makes someone important.
Yeah.
And so
I think
money will buy a blue check.
Well, I think that they're trying to do the opposite. They're trying to use a small amount of money to make profit so that everybody's equalized.
So does that mean that celebrities now will have to pay for the check? Or can people buy a check?
Both.
What is the point?
Then that would exactly. I think he's trying to generate revenue or something.
Then again, I know people who are like journalists with dozens of followers who are verified. So like really it's not even about.
No, it's about authenticity.
It's about authenticity. It's not about fame or richness.
No, it's not about, because I know many, for some reason, the porn community is always jilted because I know porn actors with hundreds of thousands of followers who don't have blue check marks.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what the rubric is, but I think in the journalist case, it would probably be for authenticity and clarity of like the source is, you know.
I don't want Twitter to get mad at me because sometimes they do have to help me with problems, but I think Twitter is the worst place on the internet, and I think it's really fine if we all leave.
Absolutely.
I think it's really good. If I could pick one to go, that would be the one I would say let go.
I know. It's a bummer because my Instagram has not been working for the past few weeks, and so I've been spending all that extra time on Twitter, which is not doing anything greater for my like overall well-being.
It is. Twitter is the worst place on the internet.
But you can curate the experience to your liking.
No, but Twitter is a place meant for extreme reaction, extreme like... snap judgment.
Misinformation.
Okay. Yes, it's the craziest place on the internet. It's the people who hate things the most are on Twitter.
Facebook. It's probably worse.
I don't even remember being on Facebook.
I don't do that. Yeah, I haven't done that in years. So
the only reason I still have it is because my Instagram's linked to it and posts to it.
Yeah.
And plus I know that I have like, oh my God, somebody, I just ran into somebody in Milwaukee who was like, I friended you on Facebook. You didn't respond. Like, I said,
where are you from, 2002?
Do you know my login? Because I don't, bitch. Yeah.
It took me, when we had to do advertising on Facebook for the tour, it was a process of 2 years to get into there. I could have run and folded a pyramid scheme in that time successfully.
It's crazy. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. And we're back.
What do you got there?
So I have this wonderful, fabulous new book a couple of weeks ago or something, you were out of town. So
she came to your house.
She came to my house, which, first of all, I was so nervous because my house isn't done.
She's going to walk in and be like, hi, poor.
Well, not that. Just like, hi, ugly. Because
hi, ugly, poor.
Her house is, I haven't been to it, but I've seen pictures. It's so beautiful. She has incredible taste. Taste that I love. And she's, it talks about in the book that, which I had not read because they wouldn't send it to me in advance. So that was always fun to do an interview about a book that you haven't read. But she, I did a ton of, I know who she is, Natasha Leggero. And, but before the interview, I did a ton of research, watched all the roasts, and I watched a whole season of Another Period, which, by the way, so funny. So funny. It's, there's three seasons, I think. It's a comedy show. It's like a turn of the century drama or comedy that's in the style of a reality show. So it's like Downton Abbey as a reality show. Fucking, I mean, I don't like comedy shows, to be honest.
I think I would love that. It sounds like Reno 911.
Yeah, and there's all the people. Michael Ian Black, Thomas Lennon, all those people. It's so funny.
I gotta watch this.
You would love it. It is so funny. I was having sex with my my man friend on the couch, and my focus was being pulled more and more towards the TV. It was real. That's not a dig on him. He's very
lovely. Well, it's hard with sex because you don't want it silent in the room, but you don't want something that's going to pull focus.
Yeah. This was pulling all the focus as I was trying to pull his, you know what?
Pull his focus.
Yeah. It's so funny. So funny. Christina Hendricks is in it. They got a lot of great guest stars. But anyway, so she came over and I was so nervous. Because my house was not in a state of whatever. She was so nice. She was arrived right on time, a little early, to be honest. And then we had a great chat for an hour. And I've been reading the book and it's very funny. She had a child when she was 42, froze her eggs and stuff. Yeah, she's 48 right
now.
Really? Looks so beautiful.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's really awesome.
You and I had our book come out.
Yes. We bonded over that. She, guess what she said? She, when she got the book, she was like, I couldn't believe how thin it was.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I was like, I thought I wrote the Cheesecake Factory menu. I wrote the Skinnylicious menu. Unfortunate.
Yeah, Moby Dick was just it turned out to be a pamphlet.
And we didn't get New York Times bestseller.
We did not. We surely did not. I wonder if she
will. I don't want to sound ungrateful or whatever.
I wonder if she will. This comes out November 15th. I wonder if she will.
I don't want to sound ungrateful, whatever, but we already did it once, and I don't super care if we get it twice.
No, because guess what? It's like they Grammy award winning artist, New York Times bestselling author. It's just you make it once and it's there forever.
It's fine,
you know.
And we're not in danger of writing a book ever again.
There's certainly no There's no way.
When I have to sign paperwork, I'm mad. When I have to do a DocuSign, I'm mad.
Yeah, like I said, I have unlearned. I've just been looking at the pictures and there aren't any, so I got through this real quick. I just become illiterate.
You've been drawing your own.
Yeah. Fuck. Well, wait. One more thing.
What is it? By the way, we're in London. We just got here this morning. And we start the show tomorrow at Wembley Arena.
You know, we're continuing the trend of having a hiatus and then coming right back to one of the most important shows of our lives with no preparation.
Why are we doing that?
Why are they doing that to us?
Why are we doing that? The last leg, we started with Radio City, which was psychotic.
And this leg,
we're starting with Wembley.
Yeah.
Do you know what the other problem with that is?
What?
It makes you have this endorphin and like rush at the top. And then you go down to Hull.
Yeah, then we're going to Blackpool or Leeds.
Down to Kitchener.
Yeah, Westfordshire to the Five and Dime parking lot. Yeah. No, my thing is I'm a little worried because adapting a theatrical show to a venue of this size is going to be a little challenging. And I don't know if we have enough time to do it, but I guess we'll find out.
It's going to be fine.
Do
you know why?
Why?
We have the funniest drag show on tour.
We do. And we have the best fans ever.
Absolutely do. And we have the best dancers and the best fans.
Yeah.
And it's great. I don't get nervous at all. This is the first stage thing I've done where never even crosses my mind to get nervous.
Yeah. Well, it never crosses my mind that they won't like us.
Right.
I do get a little nervous, but I get the pre-show jitters or whatever.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, diarrhea.
Yeah.
Do you say gonorrhea or diarrhea?
Both.
Bofa.
Yeah, shoot gonorrhea out of my ass. Last Monday I had a college gig in Columbus, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't done a full hour 15 of stand-up since pre-pandemic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was shitting bricks all day. I was like, oh God, do I even remember how to do this? I was like looking at my material and like looking at what songs I was going to do. And when I'm by myself without my band too, I play by myself. So then I have to figure out what songs am I going to play by myself. And I'm using my loop pedal. I don't know if you ever see me use my loop pedal.
Yeah.
So I'm looping
with
my pedal.
That's a lot to think about.
And I have buttons that add harmony, buttons that loop, and I have to get the loops right or they don't work. And I have to tell you, I had a fucking blast.
Was it a triumph?
I thought, honestly, it was going to be like, here's me trying to resurrect this stand-up thing that I used to do before COVID. And I got up there and I was like, not only did I used to love this, I was really good at it.
I had a
great time. I cracked my own shit up for hours.
Oh, wonderful.
For hours.
How long was the show?
I went for probably like an hour 20.
Oh, that's fabulous.
But, you know, to be honest, it was an hour 15.
Even better.
But, you know, I was like, oh, I hope I have enough to fill it. And then by the time I started to think that, I was getting the 10 minutes off stage. And I was like, I guess.
Love that.
And, you know, if the show is flying, it means it's going well.
Absolutely.
When it's...
Mama, when you're like, are we almost halfway done and it's been 5 or 6 minutes?
There was some times in P-Town where I had maybe 15 people in the audience and I'm like, well, we're here for 50 more minutes.
I would just do a circle of sharing at that point. Let's share.
Laugh yoga.
Yeah.
Bring people on stage. Talk about their trauma.
Absolutely. Wait, where were you for Halloween?
I did something very unprecedented, which is wear a black dress and a dark lip. Yes.
Did anybody recognize you?
Well, I went to Milwaukee and I did my Halloween gig there. And I wore like this pink Bride of Frankenstein troll doll thing. We did that thing together. And that was fine and lovely and gorgeous. And then I went to LA because I had to do the Boulay Brothers Halloween. Mm-hmm. And I put on truly a black dress from ASOS, a black shoe, sheer
cat
black
ears?
Tights.
Cat ears?
Not even.
Not
and
even.
A dark purple lip.
Did anybody recognize you?
No one. And I was actually a little bit scared for that because that was probably my biggest DJ gig to date. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the most people, but the most like, this is LA on Halloween and the Boulez are here and I can't mess up.
Yeah,
and I'll let you know that I ate.
You ate.
Picked the right songs. I slammed in the right amount of like Halloween sound effects where I wasn't playing like spooky, scary skeletons, but I was playing like vibey, haunty shit without playing like Monster Mash.
Like Deborah Cox. There's a stranger in my house.
When I got to Boston, because that was a 7 to 9 gig, then I could pull out some of the corny.
corny.
So then
prompt.
I played like Somebody's Watching Me,
oh, okay.
Thriller,
okay,
shit like that.
I'm sorry. You know, rimming kids aside, that Thriller song is a BOP.
Well, it is. It really is.
Yeah.
But you know, not everybody thinks that he did it. And I think that's why people still play his music.
I was at Twist and I was just like, they had the Thriller and they had it on, they had the Jennifer Garner movie on. It appeared in some Jennifer Garner movie with Mark Ruffalo.
It's 13 going on 30.
Exactly. And I thought, wow, this is just charming.
It's an amazing song.
Yeah.
Now, if he was a Try Guy, he would have been killed already.
And should have been.
And should have been.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I wonder, I think that guy's, the adulterer, the Try Guy adulterer's body, his charred remains are still on view in the public square of Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. That is totally what's happening.
Yeah.
I got to show you a picture from this gig.
Okay.
Where else?
I got to show you a picture of something too.
This is me in Boston getting my zhuzh at the Royale. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Look
how
at me
exciting.
Myself.
Oh, you are a slut.
Look, oh, that's also me.
Oh, I love that.
Let me show you this. This is me. Up
well,
my
that
shirt.
Outfit you wore to the signing was really, it was
slutty.
You looked like a tramp and I loved
slutty.
It. Slutisha.
Hold on. I'm going to find it. There's a really good video of me thrashing on the fucking floor. Look at me on this table.
On the table. Oh my God. You
table.
Got turned crunk and lit.
It's to Thriller, I think too, actually. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's great. Can I show you something?
I love to DJ. I love to tour.
You love to tour. It's like a reverse orgasm.
You dished.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. You know what that's what it feels like? What? That's what my tushy feels like. Because I don't know how to turn down the water pressure.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I have to go. And even then, pressure washed, asshole, skin on the floor, blood in the toilet.
I think I'm going to have to dilate this tour. Because I'm telling you, I have a... You're dilating too?
I'm going to have to.
Because listen.
David and I have been apart so much. I've been having so little anal sex.
It closes
when we want to have sex, I'm like,
yeah.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah. And you have to get the knitting needle to poke the skin that's had the layer over the hole.
I used to be able to do it. Now unless your dick is a pesto cavatappi.
Like, pesto cavatappi.
Pesto cavatappi. Like, and now it's like, you know, let's say that David and I have a very healthy sex life, but because we haven't been seeing each other, when we are going to have sex, I'm like, I used to be able to just snap right into this. And now I'm like, oh, bottoming is hard.
I'm like, so I've got the preparation thing down pretty much. Like I just do the rectum. I don't want to get gross. Like I'm not doing that colonic irrigation that all my friends are into. Cause they're all like on display at the Met while they're having sex. Like, so there's never a problem with cleanliness. It's just that, God damn it, so jam. It's too darn tight.
Am I going to have to become one of those people?
Too darn tight.
Am I going to have to be one of those people who wears like a butt plug for an hour before the sex?
Or during bed, in bedtime. Oh, before sex. Or, I've done that. I pre-gamed. And
that's what I mean. Am I going to have to pre-game?
Yeah. And then, but still I have a, let me ask you this.
Because also a certain amount of pain doesn't turn me on. It takes me out of it.
Thank you.
I'm not one of those gays with a pain. Right.
Does this whoosh, 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 does that feel good to you?
Not pain, no.
No, I'm talking about whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
What does that mean?
The dick going in and pound the drill.
Yeah.
It feels good.
When it's working, yeah.
What is working?
Like when it's relaxed, when you've used the right amount of lube, when you're taking your time, it all works.
Okay.
But like I said, when I was like, when I'm having sex all the time, it's easier to get into it. But when you're not having sex all the time, it's harder to get.
I'm gonna take that water bottle and stick it on my pussy when you leave here.
I guess. Maybe porn has given me unrealistic expectations too, because when I see the bottoms in porn, I'm like, am I supposed to be able to do that? I saw a video on Twitter the other day, but the guy had four hands in him. Four hands. It looked like that meme of the people like holding hands in a circle. Like,
trust
fist. There were four hands in him.
Trust fist?
Yes.
That's like a weird team building exercise gone wrong. I don't know. But I saw, now this is this is not very large, but this is the size of the penis that I had, on a previous leg of this tour. And this went up my butt with the most, it took a while. It took a
four
long
to six hours.
While. It took a long while and then got it all the way in. That was it. If he was like, you want to take it in and out now? Go to the library, get out of here. This is not going to work. I couldn't even imagine that. And these guys are they're getting oil drilled. They're getting Texas tea.
But they are for hours.
I know.
And I'm like, am I gay?
I know. It's like Jasmine Masters, girl, I'm not that gay. I don't know. I'm just curious. Like, I know it's performative, it's porn. Do they? But what is the pleasure element of it? I'm curious.
Am I gonna have to get an anal surgery?
Anal paralytic,
or gauge my hole.
That's what. Yes, I think we have to gauge our holes.
Gauge our holes.
Yeah.
Well, if you see us on this tour walking funny, just know that it's because we have two pipe bombs shoved up our asses.
It's because I have a bum hip and also a can of Coke shoved up my ass.
You know what's been feeling great for me?
What? The back.
Yeah.
Good.
My pain is gone.
Good.
I went to a chiropractor.
Yeah.
12 minutes later.
Yeah.
Pain permanently gone.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. My skin looks okay.
I put on a lot of self-tanner, and this is the manifest.
Look, I look tanner than you.
Yeah, geez. Oh.